Well, from what we know at this stage, and this comes from statements from AP, who had a local journalist on the ground, and local officials who were present and have spoken to other eyewitnesses. Both the journalists were sitting in the back of a private car inside a police compound in Tanai district of Eastern Khost province, which is near the Pakistan border. They travelled there to report on the delivery of election materials for the presidential election, which, is, of course, you know, is being held tomorrow. Now, before they were about to leave the compound, what has been described as a police commander, he's a second lieutenant. My understanding is he was in charge of a platoon, about 30 men. He's come up to the vehicle and shouted, "Allah Akbar," God is great, and then unloaded about half his magazine, about 15 bullets is what I'm told. He's then dropped the weapon and surrendered himself without a fight to his colleagues. Now, we know that that Anya was killed instantly, and that her reporter colleague, Kathy Gannon, was struck several times, but her condition is not considered life-threatening. And the latest report we have is that she was being treated at a US military hospital.
Can you tell us, Jeremy, a little bit about Anya Niedringhaus? She was an internationally acclaimed photographer, wasn't she?
Well, I mean, few people who've lived in Kabul would have failed to have seen her work. And most recently, she had a wonderful gallery of Afghan lawmakers. About 70, 69 or 70 women are in the Afghan parliament. And she'd taken a series of portraits of those. And it really, you know, it captured one of the great sort of bits of progress that we've seen in Afghanistan since the fall of the Taliban in 2001. In addition to that, she's constantly produced, when coming here, a series of photos that, you know, many people saw that, like, captured, like, the humanity of the place and sort of away from the sort of, you know, the blood and the guts and like, photos that told a bit more about the nation as a whole.
You've been a journalist working in Afghanistan for some time. Can you try and give us a sense of just how dangerous the region is to report on?
So many of us, like me, have lived here many years. Up until the start of this year, it was considered reasonably safe. Now, your listeners might find that quite unusual, but it was quite easy to go about your everyday business and interact with Afghan life. However, since an attack on a Lebanese restaurant, quite popular with expats and Afghans in January, that brought a sort of new level of terror to the city. Subsequently, we've had a Swedish radio journalist who was shot execution style on the street last month. And in addition to that, there was an attack on another restaurant at a luxury five-star hotel also last month that killed several people, including a very well-known and very popular sort of Afghan journalist who was shot dead with his wife and two of his three children. So Afghanistan, and particularly Kabul, has changed considerably in the past few months.
Do you think this incident could have an adverse impact on the coverage of Saturday's election? Because we've seen a spike in violence in the lead-up towards this election and journalists being targeted.
I've heard of no one sort of, you know, packing their bags and flying out tomorrow morning. As you know, that the election is going to be held, and, you know, all of us sort of feel, I imagine, a responsibility to sort of cover it to the best of our ability. However, most people now are acting under slightly stricter security regimes. You know, there's going outside, going to do stories, one must sort of think about, you know, how exposed you are going to be, where it's going to be conducted, and like, it's clear now that not speaking about today's incident, but previous ones, that foreigners can be targeted randomly on the street. Now, because of the nature of journalists' work, it's quite obvious, especially if you're holding a camera or a notepad, that it's pretty clear to people who you are. And because a lot of your work takes place on the street, you are obviously a little bit exposed. But remains to be seen whether this incident, which comes on the top of the others that I've mentioned, leads to a reduction in foreign correspondents living and working here.
And you mentioned there Saturday's election, and that was a story that the two AP journalists were covering when they were shot. That election is going to go ahead, but it's been dogged in corruption rumours for some time now. Can you give us a sense of how stage managed this election process potentially is, and what influence Hamid Karzai, the outgoing president, will maintain over the new administration, if any?
Well, on your first question, there's certainly a suspicion by two of the three leading candidates that fraud could or might play a big part in tomorrow's poll. I mean, we get to see whether that actually transpires. They're going on the basis of large sort of wholesale fraud that was committed in the previous presidential election in 2009. However, the Afghan election authorities have sort of learned from that poll, and they've introduced a series of new safeguards that they believe will make it a lot more difficult to commit fraud. Now, no one, whether they be Afghan or indeed Western, is predicting that this is going to be an entirely clean election. However, they hope to sort of limit the amount of fraud so it doesn't affect the credibility of the result. Now, on to your second question, what happens with President Karzai after all this? Well, he's worked very diligently behind the scenes for a long time now in being part of this election process. I mean, he's been very close to all the candidates who were standing. In fact, he's encouraged many of them to run. And he's even reported, some have told me, that they were encouraged to run because he promised that he would endorse them. Now, he hasn't actually given an endorsement to anyone, which is what he's said publicly for a very long time. Now, when the new president is elected, and remember, this process is likely to go on for some time, it requires tomorrow's winner needs more than a majority to claim the presidency. If that doesn't happen, and that appears likely, we'll go to a runoff election with the top two candidates. Now, when the new president is brought into power, President Karzai will continue to have some sort of role, the extent of which will depend on who is the next president of Afghanistan. But Mr. Karzai and his family will be moving into a house which is within the grounds of the presidential palace where he lives now, the building that was commissioned last year. So he will have a place in Afghan society, and he will, I imagine, be sort of sought out by the new president to assist. Obviously, Mr. Karzai is a very broad network of people, and still retains a lot of power, especially in the south where he's from. And depending on who is the next president will determine the extent of power that he retains. But he's certainly not going away entirely.
And Jeremy, finally, when a result is reached, and as you said, that could be many months away yet, will the soured relations with Washington improve, do you think? Will that long-sought Afghan-US security pact get the signature, the green light that the Obama administration so desires?
Well, of course, many in Washington will be looking forward to the day when President Karzai is no longer president of this country. All the eight remaining candidates, and indeed the three frontrunners who are very much expected to be in position to win this election or indeed a second round, have pledged to sign the security pact that you mentioned, and each have pledged to sign it quickly. I mean, this will alleviate a lot of fears in the community that Afghanistan won't be abandoned by the international community at the end of this year when all troops are scheduled to leave unless this pact is signed. But the new president will have an opportunity to, I guess, press the reset button with the relationship with Washington, clean the slate and move forward. Obviously, the relationship with Mr. Karzai has reached levels, has reached very low levels in recent months, and both Washington and indeed a lot of the Afghan public will be happy to see someone who can come in and look at it from a fresh perspective.